may begin, may call itself First Congress, may go to work, may tackle the new job of running a democracy. But it has one thing to remember. A promise is a promise. The people have been promised changes, promised amendments, promised that their freedoms should be written down in black and white for all to see, for all to know, for all to live and prosper by. Well, it'll take time. No quorum to begin with. Bad roads, New York City hard to get to. There's some indifference, too. So, days go by. No quorum. Month of March goes by. No quorum. Well, patience. Good things grow slowly. Good things don't come running when you whistle to them. Good things are always fought for, worked for, grown. The acorn to the oak is not an overnight procedure, you know. God himself took several days to make the earth. But one day they begin. They sit down in a drafty hall in New York City and they go to work. At first they're busy with 100 other things, but Madison, he's after them. He's a stickler for this Bill of Rights. Madison remembers what the people want. And by this time, carpenters are making changes to the federal hall, adding more room. Now, the place has got to be enlarged. The government's growing, you know. And the representatives, all 55 of them, they work through the noise. They're making some additions of their own. They're working on the Bill of Rights.
Do you think 55 representatives of the American people sat in a hall in New York City, in a drafty hall, and made up articles of freedom? Do you think the congressmen from 13 states made up those freedoms out of their own heads, debated there, deliberated there without assistance, all by themselves, from their own experience? Oh, no. They had much help from many nameless and unknown, from dust in quiet places, from broken bones deep in the earth, deep in forgotten earth, mixed with the empty clay, from bleeding mouths, burnt flesh, cropped ears, from numberless and nameless agonies. The delegates from Dunton, they were there.
I said that men were born equal. That is all I said.
The delegates from Ashes, at the bottoms of the state, they were there.
The king did not approve.
The gallows delegates, whose corpses lifted gently in the breeze, they too. The exiled wanderers, the Christians killed for being Christians, Jews for being Jews, the Quakers hanged in Boston Town. They made a quorum also.
Christians.
The murdered men, the lopped off hands, the shattered limbs, the red welt where the whiplash bit into the back. Must you know what they said? Must you know how they argued? Must you be told the evidence, the silent testimony of the raised? Must it be told verbatim? Listen then! That was an argument for an amendment. That was a speech in favor of an article of freedom. That prayed the passage of a Bill of Rights. How much of all this must be told to be believed? Must it be drawn on diagrams? X marks the spot where decency was last observed. The dotted line
shows how the victim staggers. The arrow points to blood. The headsman, he was there in Federal Hall. The man who turned the ratchets on the rack. He sat in the assembly too. Nero was there. Caligula, King Philip, Torquemada, Cotton Mather, all the tyrants and the martyrs who had gone before. Sat quietly, unseen among the representatives. Read from their memoirs, expert testimonies. Found their ways into the records and between the lines. All the long and bloody history of fanaticism, murder in the name of God, torture in the name of love, crucifixion in the name of safety to the crown.
My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
The men of Congress were collaborated with. They added up the gains and losses, and the brave words gave song, sung. They weighed the drawn and quartered flesh. They took into account the hemlock and the crucifix, the faggot and garrote. And then they framed amendments to the Constitution.
Ha ha! Now the people of the states breathe easy. It's all down in black and white. A contract. It's a deal between the future and themselves. Americans don't make a promise lightly, or take it that way either. A promise made by honest men to other honest men is like a hand clasp and a vow, meant to be understood, meant to be remembered. Ah, look about the country now. Suspicion thaws like frost beneath the frank diplomacy of spring. The people read the new amendments slowly, pleasurefully, as they'd read a letter from a son just set up in business who'd written home to tell how he was making good.
Better eat that soup, Porky. It's cold. Shouldn't read when you eat anyways. Put down the paper.
Oh, all right.
That's a good law. Ain't it, Jasper?
Yep.
Go on reading it. Why'd you stop?
Well, how can you hear me when you're hammering?
Concentration. Go on.
Amendment 3. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in the manner to be prescribed by law.
Gives me elbow grease just hearing things like that. Makes the old hammer handle easier.
The way this sounds, you'd think we was expecting another war. In a time of war, this says. Why, I thought we'd just been all through that a little while ago.
Why, the more these amendments make us free, the more they'll be hated by those who don't want freedom because it spoils their game. Think nobody's gonna try and break us up because we're united and agreed? Some people are just ornery that way. Wouldn't surprise me none if we had to fight more wars.
Why, you mean to say we're maybe going to have to fight all over again to keep our independence? Well, I hope it don't get to be a habit.
I hope it does. Pretty good habit to get into, fighting for your rights. Always somebody waiting for a chance to steal valuables. And if freedom ain't a valuable, I don't know what is.
Yeah, well.
Go on, read some more.
Amendment 4. The rights of the people to be secure in their persons, homes, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures.
Yeah, shall not be found the sound.
Shall not be violated.
Compelled by tyranny to roam, shall find amid abundant stores a nobler and a happier home. Rejoice, Columbia's sons, rejoice. To tyrants never bend the knee, but join with heart and soul and voice for Jefferson and liberty. Here art shall live.
Will this song make good its promise? Does this folk tune hold the truth? Shall strangers from a thousand shores be compelled by tyrannies to roam? Shall they find here, amidst abundant stores, a nobler and happier home? 150 years from this beginning, how much of what is said and of what is sung and what is written down shall still be good? This parchment of the Bill of Rights, with the word resolved so plainly written on it, how long will it endure? Is it a passport to a greater day? Will future generations read it, sanction it, and pass on it? Will children's children live by it, work by it, and profit by it? A promise is a promise. Has America's been kept? Has it come through peace and war, and peace and war untarnished and unbroken? Has it worked, and is it working? For the people and by the people? Is it going anywhere from here? Are the rights the right rights? Are they rolling? Do they function? Do they click? Well, who knows the answer better than the people? Who better can we ask than ask the great custodians themselves, the 100 million keepers of the promise? And we shall ask them. Ask a few of them who stand for many more than few, the high and the low among them. Ladies and gentlemen, an editor.
There have been attacks on the freedom of the press and strangleholds of various sorts, but they've been broken every time, and today a man is free to start a paper, run it as he pleases, differ from the next man, all he wants. That would make it seem to me, for one, that our rights have come down undamaged.
Ladies and gentlemen, a worshiper.
I go to the church of my choice, and sometimes, when I don't wish to go, I don't go.
Ladies and gentlemen, an auto worker.
We got the right to organize. We got the right to bargain collectively. Those are good rights, and we're proud of them, and we're better workers on account of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, a manufacturer.
There is nothing in any law which forbids us to forget class differences and work together to strengthen the sinews of our country.
Ladies and gentlemen, a mother.
I might be afraid to bring a child into the world, but not to bring a citizen into the population of the United States.
Yes. From men beneath the rocking spars of fishing boats in Gloucester, from the vast tenancy of busy cities, roaring with the million mingled sounds of work, from towns spread thinly through the Appalachians, from the assembly lines, the forges spitting flame, the night shifts in the mines, the great flat counties of the prairie states, from the grocers, from the salesmen, from the tugboat pilots and the motor makers, affirmation! Yes! United proudly in a solemn day, knit more strongly than we were 150 years ago this day. Can it be progress if our Bill of Rights is stronger now than when it was conceived? Is that not what you would call wearing well? The incubation of invincibility? Is not our Bill of Rights more cherished now than ever? The blood more zealous to preserve it whole? Americans shall answer, for they alone may know the answer. The people of America, from the east, from west, from north, from south.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.